Welcome to Wellness and Dentistry. My name is Dr. Martin Mendelson, a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, and thought leader, and joined by my co-host with the mostest, Dr. Kyle Sandley, who's a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher. And together we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness and dentistry. And so we're super excited about today's topic, where we're going to be talking about being selfish is not selfish. Why it's important relative to how it will be best able to serve you, your practice, your patients, your families, and you're going to learn some specific tools relative to how to navigate this thing called life. And so what we're really excited about is, as we record this, because we always record ahead, we're actually now on 6 out of 7 continents. It actually doesn't report Antarctica, so maybe there's somebody listening down there. But the messages are really starting to pour in. Kyle's going to talk about one specifically, and we keep getting asked relative to our Lightside Live course that's coming this November 1st and 2nd at Glidewell Dental Laboratories in Irvine, California. And so if you want the opportunity to interact with us live and in person, there's your opportunity. We've done this quite a number of times now. We can't wait until the next one.
Yeah, and if you're going to be in town, bring your family, do yep. Halloween in Orange County, have some fun time. Take them to Disneyland on Sunday and make it a fun time. So yeah, we're excited to see you all in person.
Yeah.
And also, I just want to say, I am very excited. I launched a new course recently called the Complication Compliance Method. It's the price of a few tacos in California, but we've had so many people join. Oh my gosh, dentists joining from all over the world. It's been really, really exciting. So you can go to complicationcompliancemethod.com to pick that up. I know, Martin, you have people joining on your course that isn't even out yet.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So I am launching a self-leadership course to help you navigate this thing called life. Ironically enough, it's kind of what we're talking about here today, to help you really wrangle all the things that you have to juggle on a daily basis. Because last time I checked, when you put your key in the lock of your practice every night, you're always going to have more stuff to do. So it's not like it ever stops, but how do you navigate through that more effectively? So that's actually going to debut as of September 1st. But believe it or not, people are already signing up ahead of time before they've even seen it. So I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be
super. I love it. So cool. So today's topic.
Yep.
Today's topic, you know, we've talked a lot about what to do inside the practice. We've talked about setting boundaries, and we've talked about communication issues and, you know, case acceptance, and we've talked a lot about dentistry stuff. Now, today will still be based for dental professionals. However, we're going to talk about what you are going to do outside of the practice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because no one ever teaches us this, right?
No, and it's very easy to get caught up in all the things that we have to do. And when you think about your priorities, like we were talking about before we hit record, what you say yes to one thing, you say no to something else. And so you can't be in two places at once. And in the book, The One Thing, Steve Uzell talks about the idea of balance versus counterbalance, where where so many people are seeking balance in their lives. But the truth of the matter is that doesn't exist. Because can you physically do two things at the same time? Technically, yes. But can you focus on two things at the same time? Technically, no. The example I always use, as you know, is texting and driving. Can you do it at the same time? Yeah, you can. But the unfortunate statistics speak for themselves. You can't focus on two things at a time. So my challenge to the listeners today would be just to take that first step and acknowledge the fact that if you're with your family and you're thinking about your practice, you're not with your family. And if you're at your practice thinking about your family, you're not with your practice. So acknowledgement is always the first step toward a different way of life. And so let's just at least acknowledge that we can't do two things at once and start there.
Yeah, you know, that's a good start. And this is something that I've said with setting boundaries. A lot of people think we need to set boundaries at our practice, which we do, right? We need to set boundaries with our patients, with our team members, with our laboratory technicians, I mean, with our vendors. Boundaries have to be set. Yeah. I think where people also miss out is what you said, setting boundaries with your family, with your friends. So I like what you said. If you're at your practice, be at your practice.
Yeah.
If you're with your family, be with your family. What this means is that we have to set boundaries with both people, meaning you're talking to your office manager. You say, "Hey, John or Lisa, when I'm going to be gone this weekend, let's say I'm going on vacation, don't contact me unless there's a medical emergency." Okay. If Jennifer wants to come in at 7 a.m. instead of 8, that can wait until I get home. If the lab has a question, that can wait until I get home. But similarly, you need to do the same thing with your spouse. You need
Yes.
to say, "Hey, honey, when I'm at work, please don't contact me because I need to be present there." Now, of course, if there's a lot of blood, we're going to the hospital, you're having a baby, someone's in crisis, of course, call me. However, if you're going to the grocery store and you want to know which kind of butter I want, that's not important at this time. Pick
Exactly.
one, it'll be fine. Or if you forgot, if you're doing something really nice for me and you're buying me new pants, but you forgot what size waist I am, honestly, doesn't matter right now. And I think once you do that and you're not spread apart so much and you can be present where your feet are, you can really perform at a high level.
Absolutely. And you just made me think of something else too, which is use your butter example. Be gracious. And I might be stating the obvious, but maybe not for some people. If your spouse goes ahead and buys the wrong butter, but they went to go buy butter because they knew that you were out, say thank you. Don't
Yes.
say, "Oh, I don't prefer this one," because think
Right.
about what the message that it is you're sending, right? I've been together with my spouse, it'll be 30 years next year, and
Wow.
people ask us all the time, "What's the secret?" And it's always communication. We both say that without even blinking. And communication in a kind, loving, and open manner. So
Yeah.
side note for
And
that.
so one of the aspects of organizing your life outside of your practice for me is changing how you think about yourself. So I like to tell dentists that they are like professional athletes. They are like LeBron James. They are like, Michael Schumacher. They are like, the top golfer you can think of, the top swimmer, Olympic athletes. And they usually come back and say, "What do you mean? I'm just a dentist, I'm just a dentist." But when you think about these professional athletes, let's say LeBron James, and most people would know who he is in the US at least, or even, the most famous F1 driver, okay? They have to perform at a very high level. So that means they take their physicality very serious. They take their diet very serious. They organize or they prioritize their sleep. They don't let negative thoughts come in when they're about to go on a race. They are very intentious. Is that a word? I don't
Let's
know.
make it one.
They're
That's all
very
good.
intent about prioritizing things, right? And their daily habits, their exercise, their relationships, etc. Some of these people, these professional athletes, they only have to perform 2, 3 hours a day. But we dentists, we have to perform 6, 8, 10 hours a day for decades on end. And
Absolutely.
to think that many of us, me included, didn't take my body seriously, my diet seriously, my sleep seriously. Once I changed all that, it allowed me to show up better and it allowed me to perform at a high level.
Oh, 100%. And two things come to mind. One is my good friend Jay Platt that I've talked about before. He's an oral surgeon in Indiana, and he is scheduled to go to the gym for 90 minutes every single day. And he knows that, his team knows that, his wife knows that, everybody knows that. And if you ask him why, because I've asked him, he'll say, "To keep my body in shape so I can keep doing what I'm doing." And so I'll give you another example, one I haven't even shared with you. When I was recovering from my hand surgery that I just had, minor stuff, I binge watched this documentary on Netflix. I think it was called Lenox Hill. It's about Lenox Hill Hospital in Greenwich Village in New York. And they show a lot of these neurosurgeon teams. And they showed one of them working out a couple times, and it caught my eye. Before they start each surgery, they pause for a mindfulness moment and everybody kind of closes their eyes and they're like, we want to do a really good job for Mrs. Jones today. We really care about blah, 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 blah. Now, we're not doing brain surgery. But think about it. If you were to say to anybody in the lay public, the difference between success and lack thereof is a tenth of a millimeter, they wouldn't even know what that is.
Or less. Sometimes we're measuring in
Oh, yeah.
microns,
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know?
So yeah, it's true. We're not doing brain surgery. Yes, it's true. It's not life and death, but that doesn't make it any less precise in certain circumstances,
Yeah.
right? So we have to treat our bodies like a vessel in order to perform.
And what would you say to doctors that say, I don't have time to exercise?
It's my favorite thing of all. Time is a construct that everybody has a different relationship with. I'm very much a believer in the idea of compound time. And so, if you look at the research on high intensity interval training, the amount of exercise you technically have to do to maintain just basic health is a heck of a lot less than most people think it is. It's how you do it. We have this relationship with time, particularly when it comes to fitness, that if we don't have an hour or 2 hours or whatever to go to the gym, it's not valuable. Well, what about 10 minutes 5 days a week? Well, that's almost an hour in it by itself, right?
Yeah. And you know,
So,
there's research on this. There's a it's called the Lancet Psychiatry Study in 2018.
Yeah.
They showed that people had 43% fewer poor mental health days simply if they exercise. And this is not you become a marathon runner, you
Yeah.
are a, you know,
Yeah.
CrossFit athlete, you go
Yeah.
7 days a week for 2 hours. No, this was 45 minutes
Yeah.
three times a day.
Yeah.
And
There's
I think people that think I don't have time for that, what I would usually say is check your screen time.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, I'm guilty of that too, the whole doom scrolling thing. And there's this guy that I've started to follow on Instagram. I sent you his profile page. It's called The Plant Slant. And so he's a nutritionist by background, and he the word just flew out of my head. Spliced in, that's the wrong word. Stitched. There you go. He stitched in one of these videos where these two individuals were talking about the fact that walking isn't exercise. And he was like, oh my gosh, let's get this out of our head. Walking is exercise. Moving your body is exercise. It doesn't matter what it is you're doing. And so we have this relationship with time. We have this relationship with effort. And we don't embrace the idea that compound time can yield significant effort because one is always greater than zero, right? Like I do Duolingo to learn Spanish. I'm on a 421-day streak. If I average only 10 minutes a day, which some days it's more, some days it's less, that's 70 hours. 10 minutes a
But
day.
you would say, you know, if I said, Martin, you need to spend 70 hours over
Right.
the next
Right.
year or whatever, you'd say 70 hours. I don't have time for that, right?
Right. And what I think people also don't consider is the importance of planning your time. And so, going about your business to really think about what it is in your life, that's part of my course, is really inventorying your life and figuring out, okay, what is it all of the things that I need to do? Should I be doing them or not? Should I be doing them immediately, scheduling them, et cetera? But the point is that taking the time to plan gives you so much more time in the end
So
rather
true.
than just going by the seat of your pants.
The other thing that I've seen too, and this was me, if you don't pre-plan your extracurricular activities. So let's say, you know, like for me, I tend to go to the gym in the evening after my kids go to bed. But that's when I have it planned. Now, if I don't have it planned, if I don't have it in the calendar, for example, I do jujitsu 3 times a week. It's in my calendar. If I showed you, you see jujitsu in there. So I can never have a meeting there. You know, if I was still seeing patients, I could never see a patient there. That is scheduled in there. And what a lot of productivity gurus talk about is if you don't have things scheduled, the work will swell to
Yeah,
fill the time.
totally.
So you should schedule dinner with your family. That should be on your schedule so that, you know, the patient doesn't go late there, and then you miss that. Or
Yeah.
just like we were we got a message from a doctor yesterday that was we were talking about our time off episode that we did,
Yeah.
and he said the guilt that comes with rescheduling morning patients to go to your daughter's preschool play is twisted. And
Yeah, it
it's so
is.
true
It
because
is.
we have guilt about that. But when you pre-schedule it, so like in that specific example, it would be nice to find out when this play is,
Yeah.
reschedule it, and just know that I won't be seeing patients that morning. And this
Yeah.
should be how it is with your meditation, with your diet, with your exercise, with even family time. Put family
100%.
time on your schedule,
And
because otherwise work will swell and you'll say, well, I should pour up more models, or I should look at case pans, or I should do this, or I should do that.
well, I think, and let's talk about those that might be in, as Steve Radcliffe would say, yeah, but land right now. So they might be going, yeah, but life happens. Yeah, but things happen. Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
And so there's a difference between grace and an excuse, right? So if something comes up where there is a need to alter the time in which, we'll use your example, you're going to jujitsu, say that five times fast, that can be okay in certain circumstances. What's not okay is not coming back to it, right?
Yeah.
So we have to understand that there are, as everybody knows, there are times in life where life gets in the way. Like, it's making me think January 2nd of this year, I got rear-ended, like standing in traffic, some dude plowed right into me. Well, now I got to call the insurance company. I got to take the car in. I got to pick
Right.
the rental car up. Like, I couldn't avoid that stuff. Did I have to reshuffle my life? Yes, I did. But did I then just ignore those things? No, I didn't. I went about my way to have grace and fit them back in. So I don't want anybody to walk away from this thinking that you and I are so templated that there's no room for variability when
True.
the
And
opposite.
a good example is we're recording this a few days after Memorial Day. So I
Yeah.
usually go to jujitsu on Mondays, right? There's one of the days that I go is on Mondays. But yesterday was Memorial Day. I was with my family.
Yeah.
They were open. I could have went to class, but I didn't. But guess what? It's still on my schedule for next Monday. It didn't
Exactly.
change.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think a lot of dentists have a hard time doing this because they think, well, isn't this kind of selfish? Yeah, I want to do hobbies and I want to exercise. They may even enjoy exercise, but that's kind of selfish. Going back to our original topic for today is being selfish is not selfish in dentistry. And that comes to me with thinking there's this misbelief that I need to give everything to my patients and my team and my family. I just need to give, 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 which sounds really nice, right? And that is very virtuous, of course, to be a giver and to help others. But you can't give consistently if you're not in the right space.
Oh, 100%. And what you're basically describing, as we would call in coaching circles, is a limiting belief. The limiting belief is I have to be there for my patients, 24/7. Well, here's a question for everybody to write down. How true is that? You've heard me say that more than once. How true is that? And so we make up these rules that no one has, put into some constitution or Magna Carta or document somewhere that we live by. And if we actually take a step back and question it, it's like, well, wait a minute, how true is it that I can't reschedule the patients due to my daughter's dance recital? Well, wait a minute, yes, I can. Might there be some individuals that wouldn't understand? Yes, that's possible. Would there be other individuals that have kids or have kids adjacent like me? I don't have kids, but I have kids adjacent. That would be like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's really cool that you're prioritizing your daughter. Of course, I'll reschedule.
And with the exercising, I saw something recently that said if you have people that depend on you, not taking care of your physical health is very selfish of you. And I love that because when I give lectures, I like to talk about, if you hurt yourself, and you've been through this, unfortunately, if you hurt yourself, something happens, your back goes out, you pull a muscle in your neck or shoulder, what does this cost you financially per month? There's some dentists out there that'll say 10 grand a month. There's others that'll say 100 grand a month. However, they wouldn't spend the $50 a month on a gym membership because they don't see that priority. But if you have people that depend on you, you have your team, you pay your team. Like if you're not working, your team doesn't have a job.
Amen.
They can't support their families. If you're not working, your family, maybe you're a dual income house, but let's just say it's a single income. Your family doesn't have money. And I think part of that in dentistry is staying physically healthy.
Absolutely.
However, what most of us do is just grind and grind and grind and say, oh, I'm going to work through lunch. And I mean, you know this. We have dentists, and I was one of them, that go the entire day without taking a sip of water. Many of them don't even go to the bathroom the whole day.
They say, I can't.
I can't, I don't have time.
Ooh, how true is that?
And could you imagine if your spouse or your son or daughter was in a job that their boss didn't let them go to the bathroom, right? I mean, it would be, I don't know, there would be a lawsuit, right? But we do that to ourselves.
So one of my favorite books is The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer, and he talks about your inner roommate. And so I, the next time you're anybody listening is challenged with one of these thoughts, I invite you to flip the narrative. And so I love the bathroom example, right? Because I've heard this so many times. I can't even go to the bathroom. So flip it. Pretend that someone else is looking at you and says, oh, by the way, you can't go to the bathroom today. And you'd probably look at them and say, the heck I'm not. And so when you flip the narrative and you extract your inner roommate outside your body and envision it as another person talking to you, it can be incredibly powerful to give you the visualization to engage with your inner dialogue that for some of us, many of us, I'll talk about me, can be rather unnerving at times and that you would never accept from somebody else. So if you're not going to accept it from somebody else, don't accept it from yourself, period.
Yeah. And let's talk about how you show up different. So you're doing things outside of the practice. How does that make you show up inside the practice differently? I'm going to first talk about sleep because for me, I didn't prioritize sleep. I didn't prioritize sleep quality. I didn't prioritize sleep quantity. My thought was, let me work as hard as I can and I can sleep when I'm dead. You've heard this before.
Oh, yes.
But oh my gosh, the research that we have on sleep, it is crazy. You were talking about car accidents. And I want to bring up something. I was making some notes on sleep recently, listening to Dr. Matthew Walker. And he was talking about sleep in relation to car accidents.
Oh, interesting.
And very, very interesting stuff. In Wyoming, they changed, this was in high school students, okay? So they changed the start of their high school from 7:35 to 8:55. There was a 70% drop in motor vehicle accidents
Whoa.
in this patient population
That's insane.
simply because they could sleep a little longer. And that is crazy. Also on they did the same thing in a suburb of Minneapolis. So they changed it from 7:25 to 8:30. The average SAT score went up 15%. 15%. I mean, there's basically a study that is done on, I forget what it is, like 2 billion people a year, and it's called daylight savings time. And what happens is when you can sleep a little bit, you sleep an extra hour, that very first day, heart attacks go down by, I think it's like 25%. Oh no, sorry, here it is. So heart attacks go down 21%. And then on the opposite, when you get to sleep 1 hour less, heart attacks go up 24% the next day simply by having 1 hour less of sleep. And so many dentists that I know are like, well, when I'm home, I want to be like writing my notes up until I'm late, and I want to be I'm on doing online courses, and I'm staying up late doing that, and I'm reading research. And you have to prioritize your sleep, because then you're going to show up. If you don't prioritize your sleep, think about the motor vehicle accident that happens in your practice. That can be an emotional accident, that can be a physical accident, meaning your burst slips, your injection hits something it shouldn't, all based on sleep.
No, it's pretty uncanny. I had a Aunt Isabel, may she rest in peace, who every time daylight savings hit, she was a mess for like a week. Now, part of the problem was she insisted on staying up until 2 o'clock in the morning and changing her clock versus doing it before she went to
Oh
bed.
my gosh.
That's a whole nother story. But she was a wonderful woman and I loved her to death. But she had a really hard time with it. That 1 hour. I mean, I know a lot of people, having logged so many hours at Spear at workshops and seminars over the years, people come from the East Coast and they have a 2, 3 hour time zone shift. And they're a mess. They're up at 2, 4 in the morning, et cetera. And that's just a wonderful example. And so you say, well, that's a time zone shift. Well, yeah, but so is going to bed 2 hours later because you felt you had to do XYZ, or not being able to sleep because you're stressed out. So it's the same thing.
And talk about systems that we've said scheduling that. So Matthew Walker, who again, I'm such a fan of, he's probably the most famous sleep researcher. He talks about how you should have a bedtime alarm. It's time to go to bed. Remind yourself, because you may get caught up watching a Netflix episode or, doing something around the house or whatever. But the research shows that when you go to bed at the same time, you wake up at the same time every single day, you're much more likely to have the better quality and quantity of sleep. And when you can do that, that allows you to perform at a higher level. And when you do that, you're more successful in your practice. Even something as simple as case acceptance. When
Oh,
you
100%.
sleep and your brain has time to go through all the different stages of sleep and you look better, you feel better. A lot of research to show that you're less emotionally reactive. You're going to be a better leader. That means you're going to be more confident. Think of how that affects your case acceptance and how that affects your bottom line and how that affects how you can take more time off and how that affects your relationship with your family and how you enjoy your profession.
No,
That's
100%.
something as small as an extra hour of sleep can impact your entire life.
And you made a comment a couple of times about so many of our colleagues think they have to keep grinding. And so we talked about this in another episode. We won't go into it here, but just the idea of do you? How true is that? Same question once again. Like, are you making a data-driven decision or an emotionally based decision? And so if you're going to keep grinding to the point of illness, then how does that help support your team, their families, your family, your patients, et cetera? So, we've got to make these decisions based upon real life data, whatever that data may be, to live a different life. I remember one of my buddies is a periodontist back in the DC area a number of years ago. He made a comment to me that he does all of his notes and letters in the evening in his laptop. And I said, well, how long does that take you? And he said, till 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And we had this whole conversation around it, and he systematized it differently so that he could actually prioritize his kids, right? Instead of sitting there every single night feeling beholden, because he literally did say to me, well, I don't know when else I could do this. This is when I have to do it. And my response was, is it? That's all I
So
said.
easy.
I said, I'm not going to disagree with you, and let's look at the options. And so not only did we look at time options, we also looked at system options, like automation options and so forth, that got him out of the habit, got him out of what has became a habit of just really hating life every evening when he had to do those referral letters. So.
And this topic reminds me of some of my friends that are very successful. financially successful, successful with their families, respected in business and whatnot. They're some of the most regimented people I know with their diet, with their exercise. I mean, you would think people get to be worth eight, nine figures and they kind of do whatever they want. And, you know, these people that I know, some of them are my friends from kindergarten or high school and college, are some of the most regimented people I know. They are, you know, of course, now they may be exercising with a trainer, for example, right? But they're there. They have to put in the work. They, you know, are eating certain things. You could argue that, well, it's easier to eat certain things when you can afford it, right? Yeah, true. But it would be very easy to just eat whatever you want and not exercise when you get to that point. It's like you've done all the hard work. Why do the hard work now? These are the people that I knew would be successful because they were always like this. They always prioritized their physical health. Even when we were in high school, they prioritized their physical health.
Absolutely. I think my happiness course, something always stuck with me is Dr. Ben Shahar talked about the idea of a habit versus a ritual, where kind of habit, you're pushing yourself toward it, a ritual pulls you toward it. And so I kind of have a morning routine with, you know, my oatmeal and my coffee, and I have to give my dog a medication and set his food out and stuff. And I get pulled every night when the dog goes for a walk and I'm there by myself because I have the morning shift. I set out my oatmeal and I set out his meds and I set out his food. Why? Because in the morning, it's just my routine and I feel better when I'm more regimented. And it takes the exact same amount of time at night to set this all up as it would in the morning, right? I mean, that stands to reason. However, when I don't do it, which is pretty rare, I feel like I'm just wasting all this time, and it just bothers me. And so I very much relate to what you're saying. The regimentation of a morning routine can really kind of serve you. And at least for me, this is my own personal journey. It reduces stress too, because you go through those motions, and it's part of a I hesitate to say coping mechanism, because I'm not really coping from something, but it helps me navigate through my life in a different way, I guess would be a way to put it.
Yeah, whenever I'm speaking and I have a dentist come up afterwards and they tell me that they may be in a hard time right now. They may be going through burnout or, you know, on the road to burnout, let's say, feeling exhausted and feeling cynical and some of these typical words that are associated with burnout in the definition. I usually ask them two things. First thing I say is, tell me about your exercise. 99% of the time, the answer is there isn't any. I don't. There's no time, or I haven't made that a priority. And the next question that I ask is, how is your sleep? And because when I was at my lowest point, I hadn't exercised at all in multiple years, like probably 3 years. I hadn't done a push-up, I hadn't been to the gym. At the time, I wasn't playing any team sports or anything. So it was nothing. It was dentistry, dentistry, dentistry. I had bought my practice and I was growing my business. And, you know, that was all I did. And I thought that that was what was going to make me successful, was putting all of my eggs in one basket, putting all of my effort and my time into dentistry. And although, you know, I did make more money, my practice did grow, it did get more organized. It wasn't sustainable because then I crashed, you know, and then I couldn't see patients. And then I was having problems with patients and I was being threatened to be sued and being extorted by team members and all this stuff. So, had I grown a little bit less, but grown more sustainably, it would have made a huge difference. And when I made the priority of, okay, sleep is going to be a priority, I ended up realizing that I had mild sleep apnea too. You know, going into something very dental is I learned I had an airway issue. And so even when I started with making my sleep a priority in quantity, I wasn't hitting the level of quality. So that got me into, you know, should I have orthodontic surgery? Do I need ortho? Going down this road, which we could talk about another day.
Yeah.
But gosh, how that changed my reactivity.
Yeah.
I was so darn reactive, wondering why I'm so reactive. Gosh, I'm being such an asshole to people. I'm reacting to my wife like this, and my kids and my team and my neighbor. Like, I am just being an asshole right now. And then I started sleeping a little more, and I started exercising a little more, and I turned into a different person.
There's a really funny Instagram reel going around right now that people are stitching in where it's like, I don't know what's wrong with me lately. Everybody's annoying me. Well, have you gotten sleep? No. You eating well? No. You're exercising? No. You hanging out with friends? No. You happy with your work? No. And it's like, well, what do you expect?
Totally true. And what I
So
didn't know was the connection between sleep and emotional reactivity, which was a
yeah.
huge one for me, and also exercise and emotional reactivity. And I've said it before, I think on this podcast, is if I'm having a bad day and I go to exercise, usually I forget about the bad day.
Yeah,
It just
because,
happened the other day. My
yeah.
kids were being, I mean, kids can be exhausting, it was, I love them very much, but they're exhausting and there's a lot of crying and throwing things and messes and blah blah blah. And I was just so overwhelmed. I was just, it was just one of those parenting moments. I mean, put the kids to bed and I went to the gym and I came back and I was like a different person.
Yeah. How was your wife though when you got back? Was she like, are you better now?
Yes. She was kind of scared, I think. But she knows that I come back and
Yeah.
I'm kind of good.
Well, one of the things I talk about this in my lectures, it's a quote that I wrote down during my happiness course studies. Dr. Ben Shahar said, if it's well established that exercise in its release of chemicals can function as an antidepressant, I think it's fair to say that the lack of exercise is a depressant. So I, which is, I think, a very profound statement. And again, let's get real here, folks. There's all kinds of apps on this phone thing, right? You can do chair yoga, you can do at-home calisthenics. I mean, gosh knows I have pretty bad hand problems, so I'd love to do certain types of yoga or Pilates or whatever. It's not in the cards because I can't put pressure on my hand, but there's other things I can do. So let's talk a little bit about giving them guidance of like how to navigate through this, because I get this question a lot, right? And so if you're sitting here thinking, I don't have time to do XYZ, let's either prove or disprove that,
All
right?
right.
And so let's start making a record of what it is we're actually spending our time on. And you could say to yourself, well, Martin, isn't that a little bit kind of extreme? Not if you're looking to make a change, because we need to understand what our baseline is. Do you need to do it, for 3 months? No. Do it for a week or two. You can do it in retrospective, maybe the morning of the next day, and think about, okay, wait a minute, I got home at 6. What did I do between 6 and 8:30? Oh,
Yeah.
shoot, I guess I was doom scrolling. Okay, well, there's 90 minutes right there.
Yep.
Very simplistic example. I respect that.
Sure.
However, if we start marking down what it is we'd like, how it is we're spending our time, then our next step would be, okay, great. Now that we understand how we're currently spending our time, what would we like to spend our time in an ideal situation actually doing? Well, I want to read, or I want to go to the gym, or I want to, hang out with my kids uninterrupted. Whatever it is. Okay, great. So now we've got how we're spending our time, what it is we would like to do. Now we can join those two together and say, okay, so what is my true available time? How can I carve out time in smaller chunks, perhaps? Because small things add up to big things when you do it routinely. And then, as you said earlier, how do I schedule it? How do I schedule my jujitsu? How do I schedule the time with my kids? How do I schedule the time with the gym? But it all starts, like anything else in life, with awareness of what it is we're doing today so that we can figure out how to modify that for tomorrow. End of
So
story.
true. Yeah. And it's like how we talk, I think in one of our episodes, we talked about awareness of burnout.
Yep.
The first thing is realizing there's a problem, having some awareness, And then, like you're saying, if you get to a certain point, and let's say you do change, and in a few months you are exercising normally, you're taking care of yourself, or you're sleeping better, sleeping more, you can look back and say, wow, look at how I've changed, and then feel really good about it too. And that's this like self-serving loop too. Then you feel better about it, then you do it more, and
Well, and you and I chuckle about this. Like, we're both on some dental groups, and just some of the banter that goes back and forth, whether it's about mental health, exercise, self-care, whatever. And you have these certain people, men and women, that are just, well, I just think that's hogwash. And they're so cynical. And I've talked about it. We're like biting our tongue, trying to go, that's a defined symptom of burnout. Like, just be cynical about it. You're telling me more than you even realize you're telling me just by your answer. So I think we need to watch our own thoughts, right? We need to be cognizant of what's going on between our ears to then help us better navigate what ends up coming out between our lips, what we end up doing with our fans, what we end up doing with our feet. And inaction is action. That's something I say all the time. Inaction is action.
One thing to remember too, and there's research on this, is the more hours you work, the more likely you are to have burnout. And not only that, the more hours you work, the less time you have for burnout relief.
Correct.
So we've talked about this in the episode about taking time off, but if you work till six every day and you want to go to bed at 10, let's say, okay, now you have 4 hours. And in those 4 hours, you, let's say, have to put your kids to bed, you have to make dinner, you have to clean the house, you have to look through the mail, you have to do this. If you change that to 5 or 5:30 or even 5:45, that just gives you more time for burnout relief. That gives you more time to focus on exercise. Maybe you can go to bed earlier, maybe you can. You can do meditation, maybe you can spend more time with your family. All of those topics are burnout relief that leads to less burnout. And it sounds so simple, but like there's only 24 hours in the day. If you're working 9 hours every day, you have a lot less time than if you're working 7 hours every day. And that will allow you to have more burnout relief. Now you have to be intentional about that because that could just mean you have 2 more hours to be on your phone.
Well, and so let me bring something else up that typically blows dentists' minds. And this wasn't my idea, but it's something that I like to share because it is very true. So I'm going to ask you your own opinion, Kyle. True or false? If you were to take a week off, it would feel more like a burnout relief than, having a standardized 3-day weekend.
True.
Okay. So hours are hours. And so I've heard it discussed a couple times this year. I think it was MT Izumanji that was talking about this, where it's like you can work 4 days a week or 3.5 days a week every week, or you can work 5 days a week for 3 weeks and take a whole week off every month. It's the same thing. Now, it's not always that simple because we need associate coverage or business partner coverage, whatever. But the point is that if we can start to look at hours being hours and productivity being productivity, all of a sudden we start seeing options that we never even saw or could have considered before. It's like I was saying before, the first step of figuring out how much time we have is figuring is documenting how we're actually spending it to begin with.
Yeah, it's the same way when, I've been adjusting my diet over the years, and I was talking with one of my friends who happens to be one of these very successful people. And surprise, surprise, he's very regimented with his diet and his exercise. And he was telling me, well, the first thing you want to do is do a diet log. You want to see what you're actually eating, how many
100%.
calories you're eating, what kind of foods you're eating, what are your macros like, what are your carbs like, what are your protein like. And that was the first thing I did. And then you start realizing, oh, gosh, I really thought, and for me, I'm trying to gain weight, gain muscles. So for me, I realized, gosh, I thought I was eating a lot, but from a calorie standpoint, I really wasn't. So I needed to actually supplement that with, in this case, it was a protein powder drink and whatever. But it was just that awareness.
Oh, and it's the same for me, and kind of the other way. Like, I realized I wasn't actually eating enough carbs. And you know, there are people that are anti-carb, but if you're a true nutritionist, that's, we won't go there. I'll leave that to Plant Slant guy. You know, when I started logging my food intake, I realized what I was missing, what I, and I actually could eat more, just like you were saying. I was like, wait a minute, I'm actually not eating enough of this stuff. In some cases, I was eating too much of others, but it was actually the other way around. And I'm much shorter than you are, and so my metabolism is much different. And so my problem was actually that I wasn't eating enough. And the minute I started to bring, you know, more fats in and some other stuff, all of a sudden, you know, the 5, 10 pounds I was looking to lose just kind of felt like it just fell off. And I felt like I was actually eating more.
Well,
It's,
it came from awareness. It came from being intentional about your habits, right?
So it's, again, here we go again. All starts with data. All starts
Yes.
with awareness. We got to
And
figure
I
out
think
where we
that's
are.
good that it starts with data because our listeners, our dental professionals, they love data. We like facts, you know, and that's why maybe it's so hard to think about mental health because it's more emotional. And but remember, listeners, if you're listening to this or if you're watching us live on YouTube, all of what we talk about has so much research behind it. You may think mindfulness is so fluffy and woo-woo. There are hundreds and thousands of peer-reviewed journal articles talking about this stuff. And
Amen.
that's why I think Martin and I are very passionate about it because we both like research, we both like facts, but we've taken some of these topics that are fairly, you know, perceived as fluffy and woo-woo in a lot of circles, and we've tried to make them so that they apply to us research nerds and you dentists out there and assistants and hygienists and front office team members that there are facts around this. What we are
Absolutely.
talking about is you know, step-by-step processes that have been proven on multi-center, you know, double-blind studies
Absolutely.
many times.
And you know, I say this often to dentists, not from in a braggadocious way, but to prove a point. This year alone, I was the keynote speaker at Ivoclar's North American sales meeting. I was the keynote speaker at a $900 million revenue a year
Wow.
subsidiary of UnitedHealthcare. I'm being called in to talk to this tech conference in December, all about how the science of optimism will drive strategic growth goals. Well, if it's good enough for them, why isn't it good enough for us?
Yeah, right.
It's like, what are we missing? And so, you know, to your point, it's the research and the way you talk about it and what the way I talk about it. I believe we both go out of our way to make it something that's approachable for people to be able to kind of connect the dots between the research and our lives. But it all starts with intention. It all starts with a desire. It all starts with the intrinsic motivation. If you read James Clear's book, he talks about identity habits versus outcome habits. And that intrinsic motivation comes from identity. So I'm not going to the gym to bulk up. I'm going to the gym because I care about my health. I'm not eating a salad instead of pizza because I'm trying to lose or watch my weight. I'm eating a salad versus pizza because for my macros of the day, that fits into the lifestyle that I want to lead. It's the identity over the outcome that once you start to click into the identity, it changes the narrative and changes the game.
And I would even add, I'm going to the gym for my family. I'm going to the gym for my patients. I'm going to the gym for my team. So you think it's selfish of you, and maybe the outcome is, yeah, I like what I look like, or I feel better, or I have more energy. But think about that as a side effect. Really think about the motivation that you have or the discipline that you have should be to help others. So going back to our topic, which is being selfish and caring about yourself and putting on your own oxygen mask when the plane is going down, is actually selfless because once you're in a good place, you can take care of all those that depend on you.
100%. 100%.
Well, I think this has been a good topic.
Absolutely.
As a
Absolutely.
reminder to you, dentists, take care of yourself.
Please.
Make
Please,
sure
please.
that you're making yourself a priority. That will allow you to make others a priority, which I think is a very virtuous thing.
Yep.
So if you guys are interested in interacting with Martin and I know, thank you for listening, first of all. If you want to interact with us, make sure to go to lightsidedentistry.com, click on Lightside Live, and join us this coming November in 2024 in Irvine, California, just a few minutes from Disneyland, a few minutes from the beach. We're going to have a really good time on a 2-day workshop. You got a lot of time with us. It's going to be super, super fun. If you're interested in anything that we do, whether it's Martin's coaching, his speaking, my complication compliance method, my Lightside Academy, everything is on wellnessanddentistry.com. And if you have a colleague that you think could benefit from listening to this, send it to them. I know that when, if Martin sends me something or if some of my other colleagues or friends send me a podcast, I listen to it. And last thing that we would ask from you, we're trying to give you guys a ton of free content. The only thing that we would ask is that you write a review and help us share this so that we can help more dental professionals from around the world.
Amen.
So we will see you on the next episode of Wellness and Dentistry. Martin, I'll see you soon.
Take care. Bye.